That's what this part of the service is for, right? Let's just worship Him tonight. We've got several prayer requests. I'll ask Brother Terry Horn if he don't mind to come pray over these. Sister Peggy Perry asked us to remember Joyce Wilson in prayer. She's in the hospital. Also, Sister Lisa Davis would like for us to remember her sister, Lori Hopkins, having severe back pain, desperate need of our prayers tonight. Also, for Brother Gene Littleton, several complications in his body, desires prayer from the saints. Also, continue to pray for Brother Orville Reese, had hernia surgery, praying that he'll have a complete recovery. Sister Teresa White has a very urgent, unspoken prayer request. She'd like for the church family to pray with her about. She knows God's able. So let's remember her need. Brother Jim Maxwell asked us to pray for his neighbor, Mike Bracken. Had a heart attack last Sunday. Be having triple bypass surgery on Monday. Let's remember that man. Sister Chevy Torres turns in a request for Brother Danny Torres, recovering from surgery. Also, her sister, Nanette, is very sick, not given long to live. So let's remember that very urgent request. Please pray for John Roberts. Had an accident working today. Had to have 5 staples put in his head. So let's pray the Lord will just look after him. Then a testimony tonight. Brother Stewart would like everybody to know that during the service Wednesday night that God healed his hip. So we thank the Lord for that tonight. Let's just stand as Brother Terry comes. Takes these needs to the Lord.
Aren't you glad we get to go to church tonight? You really mean that?
Yeah.
Me too. Me too. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how I thank you for the desire that we have in our hearts to come to the house of the Lord. Lord, as I remember, I said sometime back, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, anything that is our passion is never a burden. So, Lord, we realize that our passion is for Christ and for the Word, to be in your presence, to come to the house of God. It's never a burden to come to church. It's always a joy. It's a delight, Lord. It's a highlight of our week. And we're happy, Lord, that we still have the opportunity that we can come to worship you according to the dictates of our heart in this free country. How long it will last, we don't know. But we're thankful, Lord, that we still have this opportunity to come. We pray, Lord, as we beseech you to be with us. We invite your presence. And we ask, Lord, as the minister would come and bring us the word of the Lord, that you would anoint him to speak. I know the word's already anointed. You anoint our hearts to receive. I know, Lord, this will be a weekend service. Lord, our pastor's out of town. But, Lord, this can still be camp meeting. It will still be a time of a revival, to revive and stir up what's already alive in our hearts, that we would rekindle that flame once again, refilling whatever it might be that we have need of. I pray that you would pour out your blessings upon us tonight. We pray for Brother Littleton, you know what he has need of and his request, several complications there, but I just commit it into your hands. And Brother Gene, the other requests, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that I know that somebody's going to have faith tonight for each one of these requests I hold in my hand. And Lord, there's only one thing that the prophet told us. Can we appropriate that faith? Because he said the price is already paid, but all things are possible if we could just only believe. So I pray, Lord, now that you would have your way in this service. Let each one of these requests, let them turn into testimonies, because somebody's going to believe for the recovery of each one of these needs. I pray for traveling mercies for our pastor and his family as they return back whenever it might be. And that you would anoint the speaker tonight and give him the words to say. May it truly be spiritual food in due season. And may, Lord, the ever-present water from the rock come forward, that we might have a refreshing around your word tonight. We're thankful to be here. We're thankful to be part of the kingdom. We're thankful, Lord, that we have ears to hear. Thankful that you sent us a messenger, that we don't have to be blinded in Laodicea. We're thankful, Lord, to be here in the service tonight. How grateful we are that we still, as I said already, we still can worship in this freedom. Grant it, Lord. Bless your children tonight. Anoint the speaker in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated tonight.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned. place my feet on solid ground. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all of our
would like to come lift the offering tonight. They'd like for us to announce tonight that there's going to be a household shower for Aaron Vaughn and Melissa McNulty. It's Sunday, June 5th at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. So everybody remember that. Let's sing "When the Reason That I'm Standing." G.
Well, I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartache and frustration, I kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, then I won't be of you. And so I'll proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. Help me sing it. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. Fall down. that second verse. The road has not been easy, and at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll get the chance to thank Him.
Special songs tonight, but we got a special speaker. I don't know if he'd want to sing for us or not, but we'll let him decide. I appreciate him being with us tonight. When we're home in bed tonight, he'll still be driving back home to get ready for service in the morning. So he's drove up, driving right back. I think that's about a 3-hour drive or so, at least. So that's a sacrifice. We appreciate that, don't we? We're saying it with our lips, and we're going to prove it by pulling on that gift that our brother has tonight. It's going to be worth his trip up here tonight. We're going to have church. Let's sing that Wasn't That Love. If you want to stand as he comes, I know this is a song that he knows. Him and his brother sings that. G. No, it's F. I'm sorry. F.
Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as he wore that robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
I love you, buddy.
Wasn't that love?
in that tomb, and he did what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Aren't you glad for that?
Oh, but he rose up from the grave, oh, so that I could rise today. Wasn't that
say praise the Lord. All the way from glory down to earth, that mean you could go where he was. Oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that powerful? That he had so much love for you. Glory to God. Oh, ain't he wonderful? Ain't he good to us? Is that G still? Brother, would you give me? Yeah, let's try G. Let's sing a congregational. Can we do that? A little different. That'd be all right. Oh, everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. Now we will shout. We're going to sing all of his praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved shall soon the glory share, where the soul of man shall enter and live forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, not everybody will be happy. Church will be happy over there. Then we will shout. We will sing all of God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing around that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And all Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy. Oh, let me give you verse 5. Well, there we'll meet the one who saved us. He kept us by his grace. He has brought us to this land that's bright and fair. We gonna praise his name forever. We look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. I'm singing, everybody will be happy. Church will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. Oh, play it, Brother Harry. Oh,
kept me by His grace. He has brought me to this land that's bright and fair. I'm going to praise His name forever. I'll look upon His face. Sing all of His praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. But I just think it's a good time to start now. I don't know why everybody wants to wait till they get over there to be happy. Because you know as well as I do, there's some around this message that is miserable. I mean, just so miserable. They don't know whether they're coming or going. We're going to be happy when we get there. I think God wants us to be happy here. Amen. Then that'll give us a much more greater reason to get there. Amen. Oh, don't you love Him? Amen. Give Him a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Let's sing that song before we go. Oh, we're not getting out yet. Try C, Brother Harry. I love this song. You sing it with me if you would. I can't think of the name of it. But you know, God is so real. Brother Ram said He's more real today than ever. Then we have a lot to be happy about. We should be so full of joy. Is that right? You think about God gives you every breath when you get up in the mornings. And you go through your day, you walk through your day. God has actually came down with man and become human. He is here. Little Ram said, I've not come to declare that He's coming, but I've come to declare that He's here. In the form of flesh and blood. Glory to God. Said today before yesterday, they crucified my Lord, beat Him unmercifully, nailed Him to the tree. Said the sky grew dark and the earth fall. People cried, surely we crucified the Son of God. Can you imagine this? Why didn't we recognize the mighty God was here? Today, a friend and I walk down the road. Didn't know our Lord. Oh, glory! Oh, listen, children. Hey.
and blessed it. Vanished and opened up. I'm glad I recognize. Oh yes, the mighty God is here today.
Can say, then his wife can say, oh, don't you love him? Oh, Father, he's so wonderful, ain't he? You can be seated just for a moment or two and we'll get right into the word. Let me look at you. It's been 3 years since I seen you. Don't seem like it, does it? Since I failed and got hurt, a lot of waters went under the bridge. But the Lord's so good, ain't he? Yes. Let me say it's a privilege to be here and so good to see you. And I appreciate the opportunity Brother Donnie has given me to come and speak to you and fellowship with you. To be able to hear God speak to his children. If you come looking for a man to speak, you'll be disappointed. But if you're looking for him to speak, then I believe you'll receive what you have need of. Amen. But God's good to us, ain't he?
Amen.
It's been about 3 years. September will be 3 years. Hadn't went no more much. Going through the shoulder problem, I've really done a big number on it. I've been asked hundreds of times, so I'll just let some know right now. What happened is I fell. And the sad part about it, Brother Harry, I fell 3 foot. You would think I fell 43 foot. But I actually fell about this high. And I just landed wrong. And when I did, it crushed my shoulder. All the ligaments that goes here, you got 4 ligaments that go here, one there, one up through here, and one across your back. And the tie-in, it ripped 3 of them ligaments, and then it ripped my bicep in half. I mean, I couldn't pick nothing up. So I went through, and it took them 8 weeks to do surgery. To the day I fell, 8 weeks. And then by then, they was going in microscopic and wasn't going to cut me and dip. But when they went into the MRI, the leaders across here and down my arm and back had shrunk and pulled like rubber bands, and they was over here. So they had to cut me open and go all the way in and do that. So that made it worse as far as a recovering time. And then I was out of work for 10 months. And I was three times a week, 2 hours a day in therapy for 9 months. So it's been a long, extensive time. But, well, you know, I can do this now. That's about it. I can't do, but I can do that a little bit. And we thank God for that. He's been good to us. Oh, it's so painful. I ain't never hurt like that in my life. They stood me up on a Friday and said, "You can go home today, Mr. Burdett." And I stood up and I thought, "My man, this ain't nothing. I feel good." And within 5 minutes of walking out that door, I was screaming, "Give me some needles, drugs, pills, whatever. I didn't care." And they throwed something in me and got me because it was hurting so bad. And they give me all this medicine. But in a week and a half, I said, "I can't take this stuff because it made you loopy, you know." I don't know how people on drugs love it. People that take drugs and stuff, there's something got to be wrong with them. They like to feel loopy. I like knowing where I'm at. And these things made you feel, you know, you just wanted to sleep all the time. And I, about 1 week, that was on Friday, by the next Wednesday, I told her, and they had me all this good stuff, you know, and I says, I took it and I said, "Throw this junk away." I said, "I ain't taking it." She said, "You hurt." I said, "I'd rather hurt. I had rather hurt than feel like you just." If I feel like it, I want to be in the presence of God. But God was good to us and let us recover and put us back together pretty good, and we appreciate it. But they put 8 screws from here to here. 8 stainless steel bolts in there to hold it. And that guy said, "I cannot believe you did this on 3-foot fall. You would think I was 200 and something feet the other day in a crane. You would think I fell 200 feet. 3 foot, Sister Janet, and all of that. But I'm glad it wasn't no 200 feet. I'd been in trouble. If I break at 3 feet, what would I do at 40 or 50 foot? I break that bad at 3 foot, I'm in trouble. But God's good. He's put us back together pretty good. We appreciate Him for that. A lot of pain, a lot of therapy, but we're doing good. And it's good to be back with y'all guys, y'all brothers and sisters. It really is. Amen. God's good, ain't He? Ain't He wonderful to us? Let's stand and read His Word, and we'll get right into the Word. I don't want to hold you long. I got a lot of things to say. I got to catch up 3 years. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I'll start this, and maybe I'll be able to. Maybe Brother Donnie will have me back, and we'll finish it because I got something that's powerful. When Brother Donnie called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me to come, it just that fast. This struck me. I mean, within 5 minutes, it struck me what to preach. And then you battle with this and say, "Well, is this the right thing, or should you go this route, or should you do this, or should you do this?" And, you know, and every time I come, the guys in the library, they call me, started calling me at 5:30, asked me what to preach. I have no idea what I'm going to preach. But I had this thought 5 minutes after he called me, but I'm always double checking myself. But God's good, ain't He? Do you love Him tonight? We appreciate you, and thank you for inviting us to be up here. And we're glad to be here, and we appreciate the privilege and the honor and the opportunity to be here with you tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me with 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, for all of y'all that knows Brother Jewel, and all of you do, I didn't get this from him. As a matter of fact, he got it from me. Because I can't wear these things. I got 4 at home in the drawer that's just tore all to pieces. I move so much and wipe sweat so much, I tear them up. So I said, I am not buying no more of them. And somebody in the church seen this. Y'all know who used to wear these, don't you? All the old preachers used to wear them. Brother Branham, A.A. Allen, Tommy Osborne, Tommy Hicks, all them guys used to wear this. And I said, I have got to find me something that I don't tear up. And if you know Brother Jill Good, he tears every mic up when he comes. And I had this for about a year. I've been preaching with it. And man, I fell in love with it. I feel awful when I ain't got it. And he comes up in my pulpit the other day. And he says, "You got a mic?" I says, "Well, I don't use these no more." He says, "Man, I got to be free." So I pulled one of these out and I said, "Here, try this." "What is that contraption?" I said, put it around your neck. And I took a mic and put it in it. And he, about 30 minutes of the sermon was on this. He loved it so much. He said, man, I'm just free. And he called me. He said, man, I take it to every pulpit I go to. So that's where he got it from. And then I didn't have one for about 3 weeks, and I just felt awful. So I ordered two or three of them. The next time I said, if I give any more away, I'll have an extra one. But they are real nice. All the old ministers back in the 40, 30s, 40s, and 50s wore them. And I don't tear these up. God's good, ain't he? God's good. We greet you in Jesus' name from Life Tabernacle. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, I'll read one scripture and let you be seated. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. And looking at this thought and this subject, you can be seated. God bless you. Looking at this subject and this thought, it's such a powerful subject and a powerful thought to be able to look at it in the form that we want to look at it in. And like I said, I won't get nowhere near finished because it takes several services to tie this in. But I'm looking at a subject on God becoming human. But I started looking at it in a little different light on the... And I didn't know Brother Jason was here 2 weeks ago. He called me last week, and I didn't know he was preaching on the transition of the world. And I started a week before he was here preaching on the transition of the bride. And it just perfectly tied in. And when he called me, we began to talk about it. But I want to look at, as God began to come human, and God transitioning himself down to a position that has never been before, that's never been encountered before. And I'm going to read a few more scriptures, if you don't mind, in verse 7 and on down to 14. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with? How shall, now I want you to watch this very carefully as it begins to unfold for us. Brother Brown makes a statement, and I'll read some more scriptures in just a minute. But Brother Brown makes a statement that, he said, the Spirit comes upon the letter to make it live. So the letter basically is just a law, so to speak. It's just it's death if it stays in letter form. Because you can read the word, millions of people read the word constantly, that has no life. And that in itself, and that alone within itself, will not give you life. It takes a little more than that. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll read and go back and forth if I could. In verse 8, Brother Bam's, the scripture says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now look at how he says in verse 7. If the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. So that portion was going to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Oh, this is beautiful now. For if the ministration of the condemnation, a condemnation be glory, much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now we know he's talking about the law. You understand what I'm saying? The law could not save them. The law could not save you. The law could not save me. It just can't do it. So there had to be something greater that God had to get to the people that would save them, that would bring them something they've never had. The law could only do one thing, that's condemn you. Go speed and see what it does for you. When you leave tonight, go faster than what that law sign says and see what they do to you. He don't come up to you and say, how you doing tonight, sir? Oh, I'm just so glad you're going 50 miles over the speed limit. But what does he do? He condemns you the moment he steps up. Why? Because it's law. You understand? Now let's break it down if we could. Verse 10, for even that which was made glorious had no glory. Oh, this is wonderful. Had no glory, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now watch the greater glory just for a second. For if that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, We use, now watch Paul, we use great plainness of speech. Now listen here. Paul begins to speak of great plainness of speech. And then he goes to say, but not as Moses. Just watch it now, just for a moment. He begins to talk about the speech in great plainness. But then he goes and says, but not as Moses in verse 13. So in other words, watch him. There's a difference. Oh, this is so wonderful. In what is being given to the people now than what Moses had then. Don't be not as Moses' plainness speech. But now he's brought it up. What? God was condescending. God is actually transitioning himself into a different position. Now notice scripture in verse 13. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Let's read that again. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with. Now, basically, Paul begins to say, if a person comes to Christ, the veil is taken away. If he don't come to Christ, the veil ain't taken away. Now, notice how he begins to say it. Because first of all, and I'll make a few comments on something here if I could. First of all, we know the Bible is written in types. I preached a message probably 10, 12 years ago on types and antitypes. The scriptures, the Bible through the Old Testament is actually, many of it is written in types. We understand that. We see that plainly as being a part of the message of the hour, being taught this. And the Bible is written in shadows. You understand what I'm saying? We also could say the Bible is word pictures. Word pictures as he begins to explain many things, which God gives us. Now, why does God do this tactic? God gives us this that we could come, that the truth could come across to the people. He wants to be able to give truth out to the people. And there's also a great danger in this. Now, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. So this is why you've got to understand some of the things I want to say to you. Because if you take a man, well, take and use a type, Sister Janet, then he'll try to get a particularly truth to the people. If he don't have the right understanding and the right inspiration of God, he'll take that type and he'll start the type too soon, or he'll take the type and he'll let the type run too long, or he won't be able to get it in the right season that the type is. Then he's not able to manifest that portion of the scripture. So types and antitypes, I just love types and antitypes. I think it's a great thing. And then this is the reason a person must be very careful as a typologist, because it is in the scripture. Now I want you to pay close attention to this, because if you don't, you'll go away a little bit unclear, and I don't want you to do that. The prophet preached many sermons in types. Many sermons that Brother Branham preached in types. And you hear people say different things about that. And they say, well, he did that, you know, because he's uneducated. He was one of the smartest I ever heard of. You hear people say that, well, you know, types, you know. Now you could say that probably about me because I'm uneducated. But you couldn't say that about him, because he wasn't educated in the way the world thought he should be educated in. So Brother Branham begins to take the types and begins to preach sermon after sermon. And they say, well, you know, he's, basically the other different preachers that come up in the time he is, you know, well, he's not up there with us, you know, and he's down here. But see, they don't understand, because if you watch scripture, Jesus himself preached in types. Many sermons our Lord Jesus actually preached in types. And if you begin to watch that, they say Jesus, well, he was uneducated too. Well, let me ask you a question. Who did Jesus hang around? Jesus always hung around people that was uneducated. So notice what the scripture is actually doing. Jesus spent most of his time with uneducated people. So I would have fit right along with Jesus. So what is these people going to say about that? Now, just because a person is smart don't mean he can take and see what God is saying or see what God is doing. Smartness, actually, I'm not against education. I'm not against even going to learn education as far as a minister's. I'm not against that. I'm not preaching against that at all. But I'm saying I can see where that would take you further from God than it would draw you closer to God. I think it's a fine thing if a minister does that. I'm not against it if he listens to the inspiration of God to move him in the right direction. So education don't make you where you're so smart as you, because most educated people, especially in the realm of religion, these great big preachers and all that, they can't understand it. Why is it they're smart? Why can't they understand it? You understand things they can't even see. You know God is on the earth today and they can't even see it. They're looking for him to come. We're looking for him to leave. The church world's looking for him to come. Oh, he's going to sweep down on clouds one day and take us home. We know he's already here. Brother Bam said, Christ the mystery of God of will. He's now, we're ready to leave, not come. He's already come. We're now leaving. So being smart and brilliant and all of that don't make you understand Scripture at all. The only way to understand Scripture is the unveiling of God, that he takes the scales off, that you're able to see what you got. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? I want to go through a few men. I told my wife this week, there was a preacher come across the radio and he's preaching and saying things. I told him, I said, you know, no doubt they do a lot of good. Not saying they don't with their money and all this, but let's just be honest. They're the greatest con men there is. Oh, Brother Tim, you shouldn't say that. Think about it. How many people are they conning? And they don't even live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Now, I want to bring it down through the Old Testament, come through the New Testament real quick, and bring it down to the prophet, and then go on to the body of this day, and if we could. Now, if you think... Many people ask questions about, I come up early today, and I come up a couple hours early and met Brother Brad and Sister Sarah for dinner, and just to fellowship a little bit, because I never get to do that. So we was talking, we just one thing led to another, and since I've seen y'all last, I told them today, I've actually become Church of God. I'm the Church of God. And the minister asked me today, says, I don't see you out and about no more. What are you doing? I said, well, I started hanging around Church of God preachers. I'm actually going in Church of God churches now. Now, I know it's against the ranks of the message. But the Bible tells me to go get who I can get. So I go in any door to get who I can. And the thing about this, Brother Amos, is the church that I'm affiliated with now, and they've asked us to come sing. We've had big barn singings. We've went out fellowshipping and just having just a good time. You throw a word in when you can and throw one in when you can. That's all you can do. And you know the thing about this, the guy's church that I'm in, his daddy was in Brother Brown's meetings. And now they put me right in the middle of their pulpit, and I'm up there on his pulpit. Me and him become ministers about the same time. His dad, my dad, were friends. And his dad couldn't understand to see the message. And he said, Brother Branham didn't have nothing for him. Now it's become a whole flip side. I'm behind his pulpit. Singing. Then he says, testify and say something. And I start talking and testifying and saying things that they have no idea what I'm saying, but yet it's Scripture, and I'm quoting Brother Branham the whole time, and they're amen and jumping up and down. So I thought that's pretty good. I don't mind going in Church of God churches. And now I've become friends with 300 or 400 Church of God people in Anderson that didn't know who in the world I was. And now I can't even go in a restaurant without one of them there. God has a way. Because there could be a seed among it. Me and that pastor's become good friends. But God has a way to take in the word. Because everybody, if there's a seed, he's not going to lose it. He'll take a message preacher and put it right in the middle of a Pentecost and a Church of God preacher and a Baptist. If there's a seed there, if there's something that can be said that will take the scales and unveil God and show him that God has become human, he's transitioned himself down. He has a way of doing that. So when people ask me what kind of preacher, I say I'm a Church of God preacher. But I know who Brother Branham was. I'm certain who he is. I'm certain that he was a seventh angel. And as a matter of fact, Brother Terry, every true prophet of God is a typologist. Hallelujah. Therefore, we can take the words that the true prophet says in the scriptures of the Old Testament through the New Testament into the hour we live in. And the word, well, we have the trust in the word that if they type it with the scripture, we can see that it is the truth. And that's why Brother Man makes a statement. If you're not careful, if you don't start the type in the right place and end the type in the right place and end it too short or take it too long or start it too early, he said you'd have a cow eating grass out of a tree. So it takes the inspiration of the word to bring and understand a type and a type that's in the scriptures. Now, types begin, types has an end. You understand? So there has to be someone inspired to know when the type starts, when the type ends. Because that's part of God's way to bring scripture to the forefront to show that it is truth. Oh my. So you got to have the inspiration of God to know when it ends, to know when it starts, and all these great things of God. Now, if you're not inspired of God, what they will actually do, have the type starting too soon or ending in the wrong season. Then it don't match up. It may go so far, but then it don't match. And that's what God, when I thought about this, of God becoming human. We can take scripture out of scripture out of scripture and in type and show you where God becomes human. We can see the truth as Brother Branham began to tell us how God actually comes down and becomes flesh and blood. He puts, God takes and blows dust, 16 elements, and we, and blows it there, and he puts skin on him. And guess what he does? He comes to church with you. He sits on the pew with you. When you stand in worship, he stands and worships. Because you're his hands, you're his feet. When you say amen, God's saying amen to the word. When you say glory to God, hallelujah, God's saying glory to God, hallelujah. But see, in type, if you're not careful, they'll have it so scrupled up they won't understand that type. But it's a way to bring truth out. Brother Bam says in a quote here in 65, he said he wasn't only the word, but he was God himself. The dynamics that was in the word. Now, ties with Paul as he says the letter now. He said that made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave, shaken to life, and rise again and roll away the stone. Why? Because he was not only word. We know John 1 says he was the word, in the beginning was the word. We understand that. But what was the word doing? What was he going to say? Don't quote me just he was the word. We know he was the word. We believe he was in the beginning. We believe it all the way back there. But what was the word to do? Oh, Brother Branham was this and he was a prophet. He was a prophet. They're so hung up on he's a prophet. I told my church the other day, I've been really laying this in and honing this down. I told my church, I said, all people know how to preach is Brother Branham was a prophet. If we haven't come further down the road than to believe and not know whether he was a prophet now or not, you'll probably never know. Jesus was the word. He laid in a cold, stiff, empty grave. Barred a tomb because he knew he was the word. He They knew he wasn't going to stay there. See, the disciples didn't even really understand it. They didn't even believe he was coming back. They didn't have no idea what he was talking about. And they walked with him, lived with him, ate with him, went home with him, traveled with him abroad, and still went that morning. In the scripture, in Mark said they got up early in the morning and ran down to the sepulcher. Why? Because they didn't know who he was. And the Bible says they took spices, ointments, and they was going to take Brother Amos and anoint him. What was he going to anoint? Time after time after time, he says, destroy it, I'll raise it up. Time after time, destroy it, and I'll raise it up. And he goes and bars the tomb, and they still don't get it. He bars the tomb because he wasn't going to need it but for 2 days. Brother Tim, I thought he was in there 3 days. No, the Bible says in 72 hours. We know it in 72 hours. Correction says in. He said, David said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption or any bone in his body to be broke. So he has to come up before 72 hours. So he goes down late Friday afternoon, rises early Sunday. Why? Because he went down the Word. He knew he was the Word. And he was God coming down, transitioning himself in the earth. Amen. Brother Bram said the Word spoke and he rose himself from the grave. You tell me what kind of dynamics he had to have in the Word to do that. Amen. Then if he's got to have it, how much more do we got to have the same dynamics? Brother Bram said he was the dynamics in the Word that made the body of Jesus Christ. It was cold, stiff, and dead. It was in the grave, but it shaked into life and rose again, and the stone was rolled away. And he said, I am he that was dead. So dead till the sun said he was dead. The moon said he was dead. The stars said he was dead. All nature said he was dead. And the whole earth now, the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, he was God's Word, but he was the dynamics to prove he was the Word. Then we have to be the same mechanics. The Word is just the letters, what Paul's trying to tell us. The letter's dead. It's law. It'll condemn you. Anytime you deal with the law, it will condemn you. I don't like being condemned. I've been stopped several times for speeding. He never one time gave me $5 for it. I was driving back from lower part of state the other week. He went back and had three trucks to get back. And I was supposed to have been one driving the big crane because I had CDLs. But I ain't lying. I won't lie driving them. So I got a little guy worse than me. I said, you drive it. He said, I'll get stopped. I said, no. I said, I'll follow you. I said, I'll be right in front of you. I said, we'll get with that. Don't worry about it. We get 1/2 mile from my shop. And the transporting police pulls him over. You know what? He didn't come up here and shake his hand. But he gave him a $450 ticket. He's got a little beeper on his side, the police. And I turn around and go back and I says, I'm trying to wiggle out of it. I said, what's wrong? He ain't got no license. I said, I know it. I said, but I needed him to drive it. He said, do you know what the law is, sir? Well, I couldn't lie because I didn't know what the law is. He said, and I just kind of bumped over and get close to him. I didn't see that thing. I said, sir. I said, I ain't but 1/2 mile from my shop. Let me finish driving it in. He said, I'll be quiet if I was you. I'm taping everything you're saying. He said, the law says he ain't supposed to be driving. I said, I understand. I said, but I'm 1/2 mile from the shop. Just turn around. Let me get in the seat and finish driving it out. I've got license for it. $450. So the law will condemn you. And this lawyer did. This lawman, he didn't have no grace. So the law condemns. The law can't do nothing for you good. Now it'll make you try to live right, like it did Israel. But they couldn't even keep it. Now notice the prophet of God. He said, I am he that was dead. Now notice, in the letter, he was the word all the way through. But something had to bring the word and open the word up in such a way, Brother Terry, that the dynamics would bring forth the manifestation of the word. If it stayed in written form, then it would have just been written form. Paul speaks about it in several different places there. How he says the letter's dead. But something's got to bring it forth. So God's only way to bring that forth is for him to come down and become human. He's got to come down and become human. He's got to transition himself down to the earth, that you and I, that same word that did that to him, will bring you and I under a transition also. As Brother Jason said, he said, as the world is transitioning, it's not the bride transitioning. It's not, if the world's going this way, they think they're building greater and greater and greater, but they're getting lower and lower and lower, and we're getting greater and greater and greater. Why? Because we got both kingdoms of fighting. I told Brother Brad today, I said, isn't it a shame? 350 billion people in America. Something like that. And the only two people we find to vote for are crooks. Jesus. Looks like we could have found somebody with a little bit of something. I seen bumper stickers this week. I tell Brother Brad about it. One side of the car has Trump, president 2016. The other side of the car has got Hillary for prison 2016. But see, notice the they're saying, make America great again. They can't. Because you don't understand. I told my church the other day, we're not at the beginning of the end. We're at the end of the end. You can't make America great again because she's done failed. The prophet of God done seen it. Brother Brown said, I done seen what took place. You can't bring it back. Now the kingdom of God is rising. Amen. Why? She's transitioning herself by the word because she is the word. And she has to have the dynamics in her to transition into that position she needs. Notice. Because you've got to see the picture that God is trying to portray to us. Now notice this, I'm going to skip some of this to get to different things. Remember I said in another one, he said, he is, and as he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because she's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all revelations. Any others have spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, then it isn't bride. Because she's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. Look, church, you got the power in yourself to do it. She is him. A
as man and woman are one, woman taken from his side, she had taken his spirit, the feminine spirit from him, the flesh of his side, made both, notice, the flesh, he's talking about you and I come from him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, we're life of his life, we're power of his power, but listen what he says here, he says, flesh of his flesh, both mechanics and dynamics, his wife. She is the word, and she is the dynamics. She has the word, but under inspiration, she knows what God wants done with the word. Why? Because God comes down and becomes human. He comes down and becomes human because he says here in Hebrews 10, I wrote the scripture down, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. The law having a shadow of something good to come. Not the very image of the things can ever, those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. The word perfect means to finish, to fulfill, to complete, to carry through completely. In other words, you can't go just halfway. You cannot be a halfway believer. You cannot halfway believe this message. Either you believe it or you don't. Well, you know, I believe some parts of it. I believe this over here, but I don't believe this. Let me know how it works out for you. Because he said, those things under the law, those things that were written, cannot make you perfect. The word perfect means to finish, to start one position and go to another position. If you start here and the finish line's there, you got to go there. You can't go halfway and say, I'm ready for a rapture. To fulfill, to complete, to carry through completely, to accomplish, to finish, to bring to an end, add what is yet wanting in order to render the thing full, to be found perfect, to bring to an end. For they would not have ceased to be offered if it wasn't, if it stayed under the law. Notice it says, for they would have not ceased. Why did God stop it? Because there was no pleasure in them. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Brother Branham, now notice what his grace did. Notice what the grace. How can these smart men of this hour, of this day, television preachers, even message preachers that are so brilliant, so smart. And now we've even got in this hour now, brother and sister, that message preachers, message churches are believing there's no move of the Holy Ghost anymore. Brother Amos, right in our own ranks. No more moving of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they can't understand God coming down and becoming human. They leave it under the letter of the law. They don't bring it from the pages of the law and make it manifest today. I don't want to go to church and just hear a bunch of words. I want to see it manifest. We've been going to church for 50 years without a prophet. Now it's time to manifest what he said. Amen. There's somebody doing it now. We're not going to do it. We're doing it now. Why? We are at the end. God's kingdom is now fixing to go. Amen. I believe the rapture. I was talking to Brother Howard Carroll the other day. He is 85 years old now. Still preaching two to three services a week as hard as he can. And he says, Brother Tim, he said, 85. I'm 51 this year. And him, 85, saying what I'm fixing to tell you blows my mind. 85, and he says, I believe we're in the rapture. I believe we're in the day of the rapture. Amen. 85. Showing you what God's unveiling of the word has brought to our attention. That it's manifesting right before us. I believe the rapture's in our day. 85.
I said, glory to God. People still believe we're living in rapture day. His grace did that. His mercy did that. You know the difference between mercy and grace, don't you? Mercy, how can I explain this? Mercy, oh, it's wonderful when you do something wrong, God just gives you mercy. But grace goes greater than mercy. Mercy stops here and he'll give you grace. When we didn't deserve it. Now I'll give you mercy. Then he'll give you grace. Then he'll give you extended grace. Why? Because he knows there's a people that needs it on this earth because the change is in them. It's going to take that grace for you to manifest it and me to manifest it. Oh, let me hurry. Now watch this portion of Scripture. How Brother Branham brings it down in the Bible of Exodus 20. And Brother Branham begins to speak on this subject several times throughout his ministry. And I want you to catch the prophet make a statement here when he makes a statement in the message here. He says this is where Israel. He speaks about it here in the unveiling of God, I think it was. He said this is where, now notice his terminology. He said this is where Israel made her fatal mistake. And he was speaking of Israel in the Exodus 20, if you want to look at that. You don't have to wait. I'm not going to read that at this time. But I want to throw something in. Moses, by the way, was a grace-given prophet. Not a lawgiver. The people wanted that. No, Brother Bram says Moses didn't give them that. They longed for that. Why? Because the whole thing was, he said, where did they make their fatal mistake? The Bible says they would go through this land and this land and this land, and they seen other lands and other nations and other kings. And they wanted to be like them. Moses was given grace and grace and grace. But they wanted to, and Brother Bram says this in the message so plainly. He said, this is where they made their fatal mistake, fatal mistake. They wanted to do something themselves. They wanted to do something themselves. Moses didn't give them the law. They cried for it. Give us something, Moses. But they couldn't see the grace. Don't you realize, children, I want you to watch this when they begin to leave Egypt. What was it that sent them? What was it that sent them a prophet? Grace. Oh, this gets deeper and deeper, friends. It's just so wonderful. What was it that sent them a prophet? Grace. Grace provided them a prophet. Grace provided them a pillar of fire. Grace provided them a token. Grace provided them a lamb. Now notice, none of this is law. Grace is doing all this. Grace brought them out of Egypt. Grace ran manna down from heaven. Grace give them water out of a rock. Grace give them a pillar of fire by night. Grace give them a cloud by day. Not law. Grace did all of that. Grace did every bit of that. Not one law did that. And their fatal mistake was, we want to do this ourselves. I can believe this message by myself. Oh, really? As many have been trying it for 30, 40, 50 years, and look where they at. You know, when it's all said and done, who's going to be left? The ones that really truly believe it because grace give it to them.
Amen.
The rest of them will fall by the wayside. Why? They're trying to do it within themselves. Amen. Moses said, you can't do it. Well, we want a law. Give us this. And he gave them 10 commandments and they could not keep that. Amen. Notice this just for a few more minutes if you don't mind. They couldn't keep neither one of them. Brother Brown makes a statement. He says, Moses become a lawgiver, then the law put Israel in a prison house. Run a stop sign, and when the law comes up to you, window, just roll your window down and smack him in the mouth and see where it puts you. They'll book you, buddy. It'll put you in the prison house. It may only be for one night. That's where it'll put you. Grace ain't enough for us. Dude, are we so in our minds so gone that we think we can't do it? We've been trying all these years and we still can't do it. Grace is enough. And the people decided they needed something that they could do. God gave them 10 simple rules. And they couldn't keep one. The results, Brother Terry. Let's watch it just for a few minutes. I'm not going to hold you long. The results of that taking place, that they wanted to do something themselves. They didn't want grace. They wanted a law. Because grace didn't brought them out of Egypt. The prophet come because of grace. They got down and cried. The Bible says, God said, I've heard the cries of my people. And I have come down. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Michael. He didn't send Wormwood. He didn't send none of them. He said, I came down myself. Amen. Why? He's becoming human. He's coming transitioning down. And that mistake, that fatal mistake, did not change for thousands of years. And actually is still the same today. And the result is, brother and sister, we still think we can do it ourselves. The results of this taking place in Egypt and Israel down through the promised land as they are on their way, the results is they still think they can do it themselves today. So God says, okay. They come to Mount Sinai. He sends Moses up on top of the mountain. Gives him 10 laws on a stone. Now notice this. Normally, laws would have been wrote on leather. Now there's a specific reason God did this. He said, I'm going to show y'all that grace give all of y'all this. And you wanted a law. So he sends Moses up. He writes 10 laws down with his finger. Comes down. And when Moses comes down the mountain, he looks and sees what the people are doing. He ain't even give them the laws yet and they done failed it. Normally it's wrote on skin or leather. Oh my. But why, Brother Amos, why now is God writing laws on 2 tables of stone? Showing that these laws, these rules don't bend. They only break. Because Moses gets angry and the Bible says he takes them up and brings them down and busts them and shatters them. Why? They done broke them and he ain't even give them to them yet. So now showing Israel, you can't do this. And now what's on tables of stone don't bend and flex. He breaks them. Showing that they was going to break every one of them. Oh my. The first sign was a breaking of the law. And they haven't even got it yet. He hasn't even read it to them properly. Showing. They couldn't keep them. Even the Bible tells in Galatians when Paul began to speak it about it there. Paul said that a law was a schoolmaster. In order to bring you, it wouldn't keep you, but it would put you on the right track. But you couldn't stay with that. There had to be something greater come according to Hebrews 10. Oh my. Law won't keep you. You know why so many people's leaving the ranks of this? They try to live by law. I can do it. They try to live by law. You can't do it. You can't live by the law. Ain't a one of y'all can live by the law. Neither can I. He won't keep you. Grace is the only thing. Grace is the only thing that'll keep you. The results of what Israel did back then is still the same today, and it still hasn't changed. Glory to God. And what they have done, they've tried to change that result in Exodus 20. You watch it now. And the only way, stay with me just for a moment. Don't keep the thought. The only way to they tried to change that result. They can't change that result if you stay the way on the same path that they was. The only way they try, what they try to do is lie on God. Let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you just for a second. Now pay attention to this. How would they, how does people lie on God? By saying God spoke to them when he didn't. Let me bring this down just for a minute, because I got about four services on this, six services I preached at home on it. I'm gonna bring it down. I'm not gonna preach six services tonight. But I want to tie this in, and Lord's willing, we can come back if I'm invited again. That by saying God spoke to them when he did not speak, is not that a lie? So now God has to vindicate who Moses is. When God come down in Exodus 20, what's he doing? He's got to vindicate Moses was the prophet. Because before, when Moses spoke it or God spoke it to Moses, it's hid. Nobody's around him to see that. How do they know the man's telling the truth? For all they know, he's lying on God. Because he says God spoke to him. I seen a burning bush. And out of that burning bush, a voice spoke. They wasn't there, so God's got to vindicate who he is. Showing God's got to come down and transition himself on the earth. So it's a hidden show. They had to actually believe what Moses had told them, that God appeared to him in a burning bush. Now, how foolish does that sound? You mean to tell me God spoke to you in a burning bush and the bush wasn't consumed? You mean the leaves didn't burn, it wasn't scorched? No, he spoke and a voice come out of it. And there's no, how foolish does that sound? Same thing today. How foolish does it sound to so many people? When we say God spoke to a prophet. So God's got to vindicate the prophet. He's got to vindicate who Moses is. He's got to show him who he is. Showing he's coming down. They got to understand and see this. But here we come in Exodus 20 now. We know this happened prior of them leaving Egypt. When they're coming down, he's getting ready to leave Egypt. But watch this. In Exodus 20, he comes in a more open show. He's got to bring it in an open show where he's vindicated the prophet that Moses is who he said he is. Oh, it's beautiful the way it ties in. We see the pillar of fire come in Exodus 20 to show the people that Moses is the very one. Prior of this in the burning bush, which was the pillar of fire, but there's no one there. So now God's got to bring it to an open. He's got, now notice what he does. Watch this very carefully. I want you to see this. He's got to prove to them, but it was so great that the people were so afraid when Moses comes out of the mountain. The Bible says he had to put his hand over his face. The people could not even stand and look at him. They went and stood afar off. And the people makes a statement, don't let God speak to us, but let Moses. Showing they didn't have the understanding of who was standing among them. So God's got to bring it in a way. So he's using types and shadows. Now, Brother Brown does this through scriptures. The Bible does this. Jesus does this. And I was telling you because of types and untypes. But notice this. And Moses says, Moses, the Bible says, Moses, you speak to us and we will hear and obey. And Moses even tells the people, here's the proof that I have spoken to God. And then Amos 3:7 says he does nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophets first. Because God's got his channels he's got to be able to work through to bring the vindication of who the man of God is. And also the message that comes with the man of God. I'm going to skip a lot because I'm going to bring it down to you and I. Because you can't start over here and bring it. If I don't get that far, you forgive me. You can't start over here and bring it all the way through. We got to wind up in the picture somewhere. The problem I see all around the ranks of the message, they preach on Brother Brown, preach about Brother Brown, how great and how wonderful, and I believe all that, about Moses, and how wonderful, and I believe all that, but they never preach about who we are. So I like to take it in types and shadows and bring it through the scriptures all the way through, and then wind up in the day, down through the church ages, here's the prophet of God, on and on and on, and wind up at the end time, and here stands the bride. People says, wow, how'd they get here? That's what I want to get to just for a second. And notice this. Moses, don't let God speak to us. You speak to us. Listen, friends, whether we realize it like it or not, I know who we are as a bride today. I know what God said we would do. He even goes in a way, Brother Terry, and he says we would do the greater works. That's what the Bible says about you. So I'm not taking nothing from the bride or the wife of Jesus Christ by no means. But let me tell you something. A prophet of God is one of the highest offices, or is the highest office. God speaks to a prophet. He don't speak to me like he did to William Branham. Because it was the office he was holding. He didn't speak to Israel like he did to Moses. He was holding a higher office. But God was going to use them, same as God's going to use us. Why in the world do we want to leave it in one place? I don't, for the life of me, don't understand that. If we ministers would preach that God has a wife and she had made herself ready, we'd probably done been in a rapture. Amen. But all we do is preach God sent a prophet. I knew God sent a prophet in 66. And I wasn't but 1 year old. That had its place. That had its time. That had its season. But now, the prophet ain't on the scene. The power of the Holy Ghost is. And he said, that will lead and guide you into all truth. God condescending, transforming. God transitioning himself down in the position where we've got to be. You understand? Watch this now. Hold on for a second. I want you to understand this. We still believe in a prophet. We still have to understand that God's vindicated that prophet. Not only did he vindicate the prophet, he vindicated the message that he sent from the prophet. I'm talking about in our day and Israel's day. He had to vindicate who Moses was. So God don't need your message and he don't need my message. He don't need anybody else's message. He's done sent what would get us out of here. Amen. He don't need me to have a new message or any other body to have a new message. Or God's gave me a new message. Can I come preach? He can't give you a new message. It's already in here. He said you got what you need in you now for the rapture if you would just believe it. Amen.
So he don't need your message. He don't need my message. He don't need other ministers' messages. He's vindicated the one we got and the one we needed.
This is, you know, that's the very reason, Brother Terry, we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different denominations now. And we ministers will preach all over the Baptist, Church of God, Methodist, and all these other ministers and all these other churches, and blast and blast and blast when we're just as bad. There's hundreds and 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 hundreds of different denominations in this message. Because by jingles, if you don't believe what I believe, you start your own denomination. That's what happened in 325 A.D. They didn't believe, so they went out. Baptists went out and got them a message. Then some didn't believe. Well, they went out and made the Church of God. They didn't believe, so some made a Pentecostal. Some went out and made Episcopalian. Some went out and made Episcopalian. Some went and made some Lutheran. It's the same thing. I believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost. This one over here don't believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost. Tell me what the difference is. So we have hundreds and thousands of different denominations in the world and in this message. And all of them say that God spoke to them. The same way we say God spoke to us. What's the difference? There's got to be a vindication behind it. We can say God spoke to us all we want to. Well, God showed me that he was a prophet. It's got to be vindicated. He don't vindicate me to show me that he was a prophet. He vindicated the prophet so I'd believe he was a prophet. Then he vindicated the message by going seven times around the world. God don't need me to vindicate this message. He's already vindicated it. That's why, you know now they actually got books, Brother Amos. You can go to the bookstore and buy books to learn how to be a prophet. I even went to Books a Million the other day and I said, Lane, find me the book where I can be a prophet. Books. That's not vindication. All the children of Israel people could do was to rely on what Moses said, but God said, I'm going to vindicate who the man is. I have heard the cries and I've come down. It wasn't God standing there in a spirit form. He was in Moses. Do you children listen? Do you realize what Moses did when he went up on the mountain? I'm going to skip some of this because I got something I want to get to. Listen to this, very. Listen to this. Brother Bam says, God chose in the days of Exodus. He called out a group, and out of that group, I want you to notice something now. He said he only got two that went into the promised land. What did he choose to take them out by? Politics, organization? He chose a prophet with a supernatural sign of a pillar of fire. Amen, right. Amen. My. So he takes them out of Egypt by a pillar of fire? Then would not he have to put them in the promised land by a pillar of fire? He said he chose a prophet with a supernatural sign of a pillar of fire that the people wouldn't be mistaken. What the prophet said was the truth. Now this is Brother Branham in the third Exodus. So listen to what he says. He chose a prophet with a supernatural sign of a pillar of fire that the people wouldn't be mistaken. What the prophet said was that what he said was the truth. God come down in a pillar of fire and vindicated himself, showed the word. That's what he brought in his first Exodus, his second Exodus. God always goes in threes. He's perfect in threes. You all notice my preaching. It's always threes and sevens. Sevens are complete, threes perfection, first, second, third pull. And he goes on and he said, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And he goes on. He said, notice what he did do in the first Exodus. He sent a prophet anointed with a pillar of fire. He sent a prophet anointed with the pillar of fire. And he called the people out. That was his first Exodus. When Israel's time was up, he sent again a God prophet with a pillar of fire. John saw it descending from heaven like a dove and said, I go to God. Brother Bam's jumping now over here. I return to God. After his death, burial, resurrection, Saul of Tarsus on the road went down. He said, the same pillar of fire, him being a Hebrew, well taught in the word. Lo, who are you? He knew he was the Lord. That same pillar of fire. He was a Hebrew. Listen now. He said the second Exodus, he brought a prophet anointed, which was his son, God prophet. Moses said he'd be a prophet. And then the pillar of fire, and he done signs and wonders. That same prophet said that whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, he should do also. And here he promised the same thing in the Exodus. In the last days, he cannot change, and by scientific proof, by the witness of the Spirit, by the works of the Spirit, we see it today, the same pillar of fire. And we got people in this message that says the pillar of fire isn't even here anymore. We got people in this message that preaches that the pillar of fire can't even show itself until William Branham returns. It's not even in a quote. What did they do? They denominated with their own way of thinking because they're wanting to do something themselves. You cannot believe this message. You cannot follow this message. You cannot keep this message without the pillar of fire in your life. Amen. That's right. People are trying to live it without it. They couldn't do it. They can't do it now. The only way you can live this message is through the pillar of fire. And God has already vindicated it. That's why you got a great falling away. He says, here he promised the same thing in this Exodus and our days, and he cannot change it. Scientific proof by the witness of the Spirit and the works of the Spirit. We see it today, the same pillar of fire moving among us. Signs and wonders and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, calling the people from a denominationalism into the presence of Jesus Christ to live, going to the land. There's no mistake, friends. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just your brother. But it's what God has proven. So he's got to prove to us. That's what makes it truth. Now, he's preaching on Exodus 20 of the same vindication coming to the prophet of God for that hour. He says it's got to be vindicated to them. Then it's got to be vindicated in the New Testament. Then it's got to be vindicated in the bride age. So the same pillar of fire does the same vindication all through. And we say we ain't got nothing to be thankful for. It's the same pillar of fire. He used it for the other two. Now he's using it for you. Does you still mean the same thing it did when I went to school? Y-O-U. Does it still have the same interpretation? You. When I mean you, I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about you. He said he brought the same pillar of fire to prove and vindicate to you that the same signs, same wonders, same miracles, everything will be performed. He said, and even greater than this you will do. Because I go to the Father. Yes, well, we can't do no greater than what Jesus done. We ain't. People said that they're idiots. Forgive me for using that expression, but I don't know what else to call them. You will do the greater works. You. You. Do the exploits. Because I go to the Father. Oh, we can't do no greater than Jesus. We know that. He was God. He said, you will do greater because there's more of you. One little lick of fire makes two licks of fire. Two makes three, and three jumps on him, and thrown him, and him, and him. And before you know it, it just works its way through the pews. Then you got 400 or 500 licks of fires. Is not that the same signs? Is not that the same pillar of fire? Why do we act like it ain't? It is the same pillar of fire. Why, he's vindicating it. Let me close. I'm not going to get too far. You love him?
Amen.
Let me say this in closing. Musicians, you can come to show everybody I am closing. Let me give you one example. The Bible in John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." That is not the written Bible. So many think it is. They don't have the understanding of what that is. That's not the written Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now understand what I'm fixing to say. Don't throw a rock at me till I'm finished with this statement. If you throw rocks, I ain't coming back. But let me explain this, because here's the difference that people can't understand. When the prophet of God, Moses, I'm speaking of, goes up into the mountain. Brother Branham, I'll read you a quote if we get to have another service. Brother Branham says he goes up into the mountain, into the Word. That's a specific statement. I don't have time to get to it. I'm just rushing myself now. He said he goes up the mountain and he goes into the Word. So what is up there that he's going into? It wasn't the Bible. It wasn't the written Word. Now, like I said, don't get no hangman's moves and rocks out there. Let me finish this statement. Brother Branham, in so many words, makes this kind of statement. And he urges us many times in this way. Because if you're not careful, Brother Harry, here's where so many people's lied on God and made so many mistakes. He urges us, when I ain't preaching at home, I didn't want to say it because it don't even sound right till I finish. He urges us to stay away from the Word. I figured you'd get quiet. You done just like my church. But let me give you the understanding of that. Because when Moses goes up into the mountain, Brother Ram said he goes up into the Word. He didn't go up there and get a Bible out. It wasn't even written. When Brother Brown says stay away from the Word, he's not talking about you staying away from the Word, the Bible. He said read this daily. But notice, nobody else should go up that mountain and get into that Word other than Moses. But so many people try to go up into that mountain and get in that Word. But I said, don't do that. If you're not called for that, don't stay away from it. Because, listen, let me explain this very carefully. Anybody and everybody is not called to go into the Word like Moses or William Branham. Why is it that little 8-year boy seen the pillar of fire out the school window and said, William Branham's up there? What made him say that? Because he knew that didn't come to anybody. There was a prophet on the earth at that time. He said, William Branham's up there. There's the pillar of fire going up and down. Nobody else could go up there. He said, get away from that. It's not for you. And then Moses comes down the mountain. God, I love this. But once that Word begins to give the Word, we are to stay with that Word. Because it was delivered to Moses as a God prophet. But Ram said Joshua couldn't go up there and get it. One of the greatest generals ever. But God didn't call him to go up there to that Word. God called him to stand with Moses. God sent the prophet up there and brought him back down with that word and give it to the people. So he's vindicating his word. Let me hurry. So Moses, it's an amazing statement. I read that in the back office there a while ago again. Moses goes up the mountain and goes into the word. He wasn't in his office studying like I do. He wasn't studying like Brother Donnie does and these other great ministers. He goes into the word. So what was there? He actually goes into the pillar of fire. Think about it. He's not up there in the office with the door shut with a computer on. But Ram said he goes into. And now the pillar of fire is with him. Can you imagine that, Brother Tim? If we feel like we feel coming to church, and we get this excited and happy, and we believe the pillar of fire is here. But that pillar of fire was literally going up and down. Brother Bam said he goes in too. Can you imagine what he feels like? Then he comes down, he takes that word that he got out of the word as he goes into the pillar of fire, and he begins to give the word out. And when he goes into the pillar of fire, now listen, he goes into the pillar of fire, and when he comes out, I like to have a hissy fit on this. When he comes out of it, he brings the pillar of fire with him. He now becomes the pillar of fire. The Bible said he become God to the people. God becoming human, transition himself down. The pillar of fire, we know he wasn't God, God. We understand that. But he brings the pillar of fire back with him. Now notice this is going to be strong. Listen very carefully. He was Moses as he went up. And when he comes down, he goes into the pillar of fire. And he comes back down. He was not just Moses. He had now become God. And Moses is now the very one that's going to write the first five books of the Bible. So he goes into the word and becomes so inspired and so one with the word. And while he's in the word, he writes the word. Oh my. While he's in the word, he writes the word. The first five books of the Bible. And he's not even on the earth when it transpires. Genesis. So, y'all remember when I preached that here a long time ago when the Word saw the Word? I thought about it again today. He comes out of it, brings the Word with him, speaks the Word to the people. Now the Word comes to the Word. When he comes down, then the Word begins to preach the Word and vindicate what he said was truth. So now the pillar of fire has come from a burning bush that nobody could see to the top of the mountain. That gives them 10 laws they couldn't keep, and he breaks them. My goodness. Man, I wish I had about 3 more hours. But remember, it says one time that Jesus, we sung about the song, today a friend and I walked down the road. Didn't know our Lord had a rose. And a man drew near and spoke words so wise. Broke the bread and he blessed it. Vanished and opened up our eyes. Brother Bram said, Jesus goes down the road to Damascus, comes out of the bushes there with Cleopas and his friend. He said, the word preaches the word. Why? He's done rose now. They run down there. We gotta hurry up and get down there. Jesus is laying down there. Give me them spices. Give me that oil. Where's he at? Y'all see him? Anybody see him? Showing they didn't even believe it. They had no idea he'd be risen. No idea. Same thing in this message. So many people has no idea. Brother Ram says, he's here. We look at that and we see him. Brother Harry standing on the platform. Now he's standing no more than 2 foot to my left or to my right. Now what you feel is we're so used to that. But the same God that stood on the platform around the world that vindicated himself time and time and time again is the same God, the same word, the same vindication that not only stands up here and preaches to y'all tonight, but it's the same God, same power, same life that sits in every one of these pews. There's no difference. He's the same. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today. Boy, we can look back in the word, Brother Harry, and say, glory to God, boy, boy, God done this. Only God brought him out and God done this. My good, look what he done there. My, look what he done in the New Testament. Oh, my, look what he done. Oh, my good, look at 1906 in Susan Street. Look what he done. Oh, he was so powerful that the house they was in, the house began to move off the foundations of the Azusa Street experience with God. Oh, look what he done. Oh, they shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted. And they shouted herself right into a denomination. I'm not saying God didn't move. It was a time for that. My, as time's like you, Brother Harry, I wish I had about 2 more hours. Good Lord Jesus. We're here, church. He's the same yesterday. And we don't have no problem believing that. Today. There's where we hit our snag right there. God help us, friends. God help us. That the same life, the same God, the same power, the same everything that he was actually sits on the pews. And the problem is, Brother Terry, they won't give it to the people. Just like all these big famous preachers got all of the hate, Brother Branham, but to actually preach his sermons. And we ain't tell the people where they're getting all this. Ma, you come up with all of this. They ain't got sense. God give a billy oat to come up with all that. I know him personally. God give me this message and I want to preach it. God give me this. And he preaches it all over the radio. God give me this. Not having the slightest idea that I'm standing there listening and I know where it come from. Wouldn't mention William Branham's name for nothing. And I'm not saying you got to. But don't lie to the people saying God give you something when he didn't.
Right.
God give me this today. I want to preach it to you tonight. And preach Brother Branham's message. And never say well, you got it. I'm not ashamed to say where I get mine. I get mine out of the messages that he preached. An inspiration to be able to put it together. Let's stand together. Oh my, do you love him? Oh Father. Lord, let us recognize tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, the same God, the same life, the same power. Lord, it's right here among us, Lord. Lord, and people will come to church, no doubt, every week in every congregation, Lord, around the world, Lord, they'll come to church week after week after week after week and leave with the same results and leave with the same situations and the same issues and the same problems. God, we don't have to because the same God stands here among us tonight and he's vindicated himself, Lord. He's vindicated the word to be real, to be truth. Brother Bram said he had to vindicate it that they would believe it was the truth. Lord, you did that around the world. And here we stand in Happy Valley tonight, Lord. We know this message is the absolute. We know it's the truth. We know it came from God. We don't need somebody to come by somebody else to vindicate it. It's already been vindicated. Brother Bram said God vindicates his own word. Brother Branham couldn't even vindicate it. God vindicated it. I can't vindicate this, Lord. God, you vindicate this. And God becomes human, transitions himself down in this earth to become the bride, to become the wife, because she makes herself ready by the word. Then she has the ability to go into the word. But Lord, because the full, complete word has been revealed today, you didn't hold nothing back, Lord, in this hour. Lord, you revealed little bits and portions and portions and portions and portions and portions all down through time. But God had come this hour, Brother Abraham says, it is now upon the earth and the bride. God, let us believe it tonight, Lord, more than anything. Let us believe it, Lord, more than anything tonight. Let us stand, Lord, and realize it's been vindicated time and time again. And we are the beneficiaries of this message. We are beneficiaries of Christ raising from the dead the third day. Lord, don't let us be like those that went running down to the tomb, Lord, had no idea. But Lord, let us believe it so much. They should have actually went down there and knew that he wouldn't be there when they got there. But Lord, I know from the flesh side, I know it's probably so hard. We go through them every day. We go through things daily. And Lord, I know it's hard to have that faith so many times. As Lord, my buddy preached in my church Wednesday, faith and fear. So many times we are pulled by the fear. But Lord, if we could just let go of that part and be pulled by the faith side. Oh Lord, what it would do for us today. God, how we love you tonight and appreciate you. We're so thankful for the time you've given us, Lord, to be together and that you're here with us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. How many loves him tonight? Amen. And the church can say?
Amen.
Is that G, Brother Harry? Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
I love this song here. I'm gonna make it. He's already said I would. Think about that. Oh, I'll keep on trusting. In my view.
trusting. Oh, that He's working everything for my good. I know that He walks beside me, and heaven is in my
You said you was going to make it. He said it. That's the whole difference. I didn't say I was going to make it. He told me I would. I don't have to prove to y'all I am. He said I would. Y'all don't have to prove to me and to each other. He said you would. Can you fathom God of the heavens and God of the universe comes down and says, Brother Harry, you're going to make it. And all Brother Harry's got to do is just say, yeah, Lord. He don't have to do no cartwheels. He don't have to jump up and down. If he wants to come off the organ and do some cartwheels across the pulpit, I'll just let him out of the floor. It's fine with me. I love cartwheels in church. But I just got to believe he said I was going to make it. And who is the devil telling me I can't? You ever wonder why so many people listen to the devil? Because everything he tells you is a lie. I mean, he is the lie. The Bible says he's the father of it. And he can't tell you nothing good. We're sitting at home this week. We're sitting out in the backyard. We got a place we sit. We're just talking about being creators. About a week and a half ago. You know, Brother Brown makes a statement that says, God helped. Satan's able to do anything that God can do but create. He held that back. So we know he can't create. So how does all this happen today? And I begin to, we're sitting there, three or four of us. And we started reading them. Few quotes and few things, just tying it together, just talking about the Lord. And the way Satan's able to create, here's the powerful. The way Satan's able to create, because Brother Bram said he couldn't create. But you know how he does create? He uses you and me to create it for him. Because Brother Bram said, we are little creators. And if we're not careful, we'll allow that to be perverted. Because Satan don't have the ability to create. He can't do it. God held that back. Because he couldn't show all of who God was. So God pulls that part back from him. And Brother Ram comes on this aisle, way over here on this end, and says, you are little creators. And Satan says, uh-oh, there's a way I can get in. I'll come in and make it sound good and make it. What did he do to Eve? Same thing. He couldn't do that. That could not have come to pass without Eve. And he keep that thought that he sends your way. I'm not a Christian. I ain't no good. Ain't no sense me following this message no more. I never could live it anyway. And then you believe that. Who created it, made it come to pass? Not the devil. You. All you had to do was say, oh, no, Satan. He said, I've already made it. It's just that simple, but our flesh won't let us do that. That's why we got to put our foot on it and bring every part of this nature under subjection to the Word. Notice there's a quote, and I'm closing. He said, it don't just bring, we talk about that we're going to have enough grace and faith and we're going to put on immortality. This mortal put on immortality. Brother Bram goes in a quote, he said, it will actually, the Word of God will actually, listen to this now, will actually make this, I was reading it the other night, come under subjection. Not when you get there on earth. You'll be able to bring this under subjection on earth. Then you'll actually speak the word and call a body change.
Amen.
That's how you're going to make it. Well, it wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tricks me, tries to turn me around. Well, he offers everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing. Well, listen, well, I...
somehow, though the devil tempt me and tries to turn me around. He offers everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, there's nothing in the world that can ever take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold could never buy His love from above. Tip me, tries to turn me around. Well, he offers everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't. Oh, let's sing it again. Well, I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Gonna make it to heaven somehow. So the devil tip me and tries to turn me around. I ain't turning around. Well, he offers everything that's got a name. In the house of God tonight. He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy. Oh, do you love Him? Are you happy? Ain't He good to us? Let me say thank you for coming to church tonight. Appreciate you coming. God bless you, children. God bless you. It's good to see each and every one of you. All hearts clear. All minds clear. We're going to make it. By His grace. I got enough sense to know I can't do it without Him. I got enough sense to know I can't, Brother Harry. I just can't do it. You know how I know? Because I tried one time. And you can bet you'll fall on your face every time. But if you'll just get up. Listen, children, it ain't a sin to fall. I know we preach it like, well, you fall, you're going to hell. No. Just don't lay there. Get up. It's going home time. It's going home time. Is that right? We're getting out of here. I believe it's in our day. Can you imagine that? We're going to put on immortality. And we are crazy enough to believe that we're going to see it. We're actually crazy enough to believe that it's going to be in my day. I'm crazy enough to believe that. Evidently, y'all are. Y'all heard me preach about it for an hour. I'm just glad to know that God made us crazy. Brother Bram actually said we was a bunch of nuts. He did say that. He said when God comes down and takes these nuts off, he said the whole thing's going to fall apart. We'll be going up, 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 and she's a crumbling. Amen. Amen. See, you know what Satan's done? He's, like Brother Jason said, he's transitioning the world. But in the same moment, God's transitioning His body. God don't do nothing unless Satan comes down and tries to do the same thing. You look, Satan tries to pervert everything God does. Look at the colors of the rainbow. Look what they've done in this hour. The transgender thing and all this and the homosexuals and all that. Look what He's done. They've taken God's colors and put it on the White House steps. And hangs a flag on our White House desk. I paid for that. Y'all paid for that. And God and Satan hangs his own colors, hangs his colors up there. Why? He stole them from God's what he done. Little devil. He's a little devil. But we serve a God bigger than he is. Don't we? We serve a God bigger than he is. God put his foot on Satan that day. And Brother Bam said, today
the bride will put their foot on him. That's what he said. Why? That's what he said. Amen. Ain't he wonderful? He's good, ain't he? God bless you. Sorry I helped you to 15 out of 9. If it was up to me, I'd hold you about 15 out of 11. Because I definitely enjoyed myself. I pray you enjoyed yourself. I enjoyed myself. I appreciate being here to speak with you, fellowship with you. Brother Brad and Sister Sarah had a wonderful time today fellowshipping with them. God's just so good. God's got the best people there is. I don't know who'll be speaking tomorrow, so, but I know God will just say the right thing. Whoever it is, God will say the right thing. Is that right? Y'all just pray for me when y'all sleeping tonight. As I'm going down that road, I didn't have my messages in my car today. And I was just beating myself up. I says, doggone it. I ain't got my messages. I ain't got nothing to listen to. So I kept hitting that radio thing, trying to find some kind of music and gospel music and all this. And ain't nothing on it but trash. Trash. I just want to be, I want to make it. I can by His grace. Heavenly Father, what an hour. Lord, the world looks at it crumbling and falling apart. We look at it as the kingdom of God's right at hand. Lord, we'll take that great flight across the mystery of God revealed. I think it was the prophet of God said, He's not coming. He said, we're leaving, showing He's already here. We're so grateful for it tonight. God, let this message that's been spoke, Lord, to Your children. Let it, Lord, I probably tangled it all up because of my education, Lord. But God, I'm asking You tonight to unravel it, Lord. And make it plain to them, Lord, showing that this word's been vindicated. Lord, and it goes so much deeper than that. And there's some things that's so powerful and so great in this subject that I'm speaking on. And Lord Jesus, I know that You're more than able to unfold it to them. As You unfold it to the men of God around the world, Lord, this is Your body. Would You give it to them, Lord, what they have need of? If they're sick tonight, God, I ask You to touch them. Lord, if they need something from God by way of deliverance or a touch from the mighty hand of God, Lord, they don't have to come to the front. All they get to do is just believe right where they stand in their sins. Lord, Your prophet taught us that. So I pray that You would grant it, Lord, and touch them. Whatever they have need of, would You deliver them? Lord, those that need delivering, Lord, bring them to the fold, Father. That seed, wherever it may be around this world, if there's seeds around Johnson City and Anderson, different places, Lord, where we're from also, Lord, somehow contact that seed and bring it in. The prophet of God said that last seed to come in, she'll be gone one day. Glory to God. So, Lord, we're just so grateful tonight to come in Your presence. May You go home with each one now. Lord, may as they lay down and rest, Lord, I pray, God, they'll meditate upon the Word. Lord, may they get up in the morning with expectations, God, and excited to come back at 11 o'clock, Lord, to hear more from the Word. May You grant it, Lord, we pray. Bless these musicians, Lord. Bless every member of this church, oh Father. The pastor, Lord. Just every person that goes here, Lord, just each one. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Vindicate it to them, Lord, we pray. We love You and we appreciate You the time You've given us. Give us safe, each one safe journeys to our homes. Till we meet again, Lord, in our services tomorrow and abroad. For it's in Jesus' name. And the bride can say.
Amen.
And the bride can say.
Amen.
God bless you, saints of God. You love Him?
Yes.
You happy?
Yes.
You happy? He's wonderful to us, ain't He? He's wonderful to us. We appreciate you. Good to see all of you. Good to see all of you. Let's sing that chorus of a song. I'm going to make it, Brother Harry, if you would, as people are dismissed. Do you love Him really from your heart?
Amen.
Listen, children, I'm telling you, we're fixing to go home. I'm not talking about to Ivan Anderson and abroad Johnson City and Elizabeth. I'm talking about we're fixing to go to our real home.
Amen.
And the thing of it is, it's a couple of feet from us. It's just that fast. What grace has done for us. Grace. God bless you, Brother Harry.
I'm gonna said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Oh, I'm gonna make it. He already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything.